morning. The psalmist says, I wait for the Lord, and my whole being waits. In his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. So Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all of their sins. Let's pray. Lord, we are here to worship you because you deserve it. But Lord, we know what you have done for us. We know that you have redeemed us. We know and have seen what you did on the cross for us and for everybody. So we turn and we worship you. We give you all that we have. We worship you with a worship that is honoring unto your name. Amen.
Seen how all thy longings have been. I'm Hallelujah. Faithful remnant, good to have you here this morning. You've braved the blizzard of 21. I need, before we get into our communion service, to talk to you about the little cup that you received or grabbed when you came. Everybody get one? Anybody need one? Okay, we're good. The pandemic messed a lot of things up, including how we would celebrate communion together. We would serve you in your seats. The ushers would wait upon us. Well, we couldn't do that anymore, so we tried different approaches and failed miserably. So we finally have settled in on these little goblet cups, cute little things right here. We've taste tested them in the office and they passed. But in due time, when it's time to partake of the elements, you want to flip the juice side down and peel the top off and get the bread out first. And then in a few minutes when we do the cup, you flip it the other way. When you're all done, you can take that. It doesn't fit in the cup holder in the chair in front of you, but you can sort of set it at a 45 degree angle where the cups are supposed to go and it'll stay. If you'd remember to take it with you when you leave and drop it in the trash receptacle that we have out there just for these cups, we would really appreciate it. You guys are really under a lot of pressure, by the way. First and second service got it just great. So. Beloved in the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood as a sign and pledge of his love for the continual remembrance of the sacrifice of his death until he comes again, and for a spiritual sharing of his risen life. For in these holy mysteries, we are made one with Christ, and Christ with us. We are made one body in him and members one of another. All you who are truly displeased with yourselves for your sins and yet trust that these are forgiven you for the sake of Christ and that your remaining infirmity is covered by his passion and death, who also desire more and more to strengthen your faith and amend your life, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. Let's pray. Almighty God, our wonderful, loving, gracious, merciful, kind, patient Heavenly Father, who of your tender mercy gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by the one offering of himself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. We humbly ask, O merciful Father, that you would now bless and sanctify with your word and spirit the elements of bread and wine that we are about to receive, and grant that we who receive them, according to your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, after the supper had ended, he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "All of you drink this, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sin." Amen. Let's worship. Hallelujah. Do you know, I'm not God, and neither are you. And that means we will never, ever, ever, through all eternity, come to a place of fully being able to comprehend the depths of God's love for us. Never. It's so vast, it's so deep, it's immeasurable. God loves you enough so that while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. What an amazing demonstration of love. Let's pray. Merciful Lord, we don't presume for a moment to come to this, your table, trusting in our own righteousness. Our confidence is in your manifold and great mercies. We're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose mercy is unfailing. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that we may be filled with the fullness of his life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him and he in us. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen. Okay, now's the time to get out those little cups and pop open the side with the wafer in it. Brothers and sisters, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Take and eat this now in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith and with thanksgiving. Amen. Likewise now with the cup side. Brothers and sisters, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Take and drink this now in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you.
worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. Oh yes, Lord. I'm gonna worship you forever.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. Welcome to Church of the Living God on this snowy communion Super Bowl Sunday. Go Tampa Bay. Oh. Kansas City? Tampa Bay? What? Okay. No Super Bowl fans here. Not Tampa Bay Patriots. What? Okay, man, it's third service. You guys are thinking about the snow. Don't worry about it. Special hello to any of our guests and visitors. Great to have you with us. Those that are watching online, again, thanks for joining us. Guys, before you're seated, why don't you just give a wave to some folks, wish them a good morning, and you can be seated for the announcements. Bless you.
Hello, everybody, and if you are in-house or you're watching us online, welcome. We're so happy that you're here with us. Now, in Matthew, Jesus says when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Not if, but when. And in all three of these things, it becomes a natural part of your life. It becomes an act of worship. So saying that, giving is an act of worship. Now you can give online at clgonline.net. There are baskets in the back of the sanctuary, or you can always mail it in to our church office. For all of you Merge kids who participated in last month's Bible reading challenge, go ahead and pick up your bags in the foyer and see Miss Sarah after all three services. And next Sunday is going to be February 14th, which is Valentine's Day. That being said, Merge Kids or any kids that are here, we are going to have Valentine's Day treat bags available for you again in the foyer with Miss Sarah after all three services. This afternoon is Manchester Prayer Gathering. This is going to be at New River Church on Woodbridge Street. It's going to be at 4 p.m. This is a time change because of the Super Bowl. Now that we've had our first big snowstorm of 2021, we want to remind you about our CLG Events Alert Services. Now, this is for you to be notified of special events or services, maybe a change of event, and weather cancellations, if it happens. But go ahead and sign up online at clgonline.net. Everybody, Have a great day.
All right, let's all stand together.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails, not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy.
Thank you, worship team. Blessings be on you. Hallelujah. They are a blessing of God's grace to us. They're here all day. They came even though a blizzard was promised. As I'm watching, I'm not impressed. We've even got a state plow truck in our parking lot. Come on. I have a personal confession to make, a bearing of my soul. I am a worshiper of God. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper because of the work that God has done in my heart. I'm a worshiper because of the deposit of His life that He has implanted in me through the Holy Spirit. I'm a worshiper because of the testimony of His Word, the Bible. I'm a worshiper because of what I've seen Him do and because of what He's done in my own life. Now, I have said often, and I firmly believe, that as a church, worship is the most important thing that we do. We're going to talk about that for a while. For some number of weeks, we're going to be exploring worship together. Because besides my personal confession, I want to give you a biblical framework for the high place worship holds in my life and in the life of Church of the Living God. We're going to spend some time basically in the Psalms today. And we'll be starting in Psalm 63. So in your Bibles, whatever form you choose, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 6. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, paint yourself into this picture. You're in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You're stuck in a desert someplace. You're trying to find your way out. You're traipsing through the sand, up one dune, down the other. Finally, you go up one dune, and things are getting kind of desperate. And lo and behold, there's an oasis.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah is right. Well, what's your reaction going to be? Oh, isn't that nice? Looks like a postcard. Now, you're going to dash down that dune and stick your face in the spring that will be found there and be refreshed. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. The psalmist says, and I say with him, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. It's not only David's testimony, it's mine as well, and numbers of you also. I have beheld his power and his glory. I have been touched by his love. Now, my learning to be a worshiper, and it is an ongoing experience, by the way. There's always more. We're always learning. But my learning to be a worshiper began in the months immediately following my conversion. I have been learning to worship for 48 years. And I'm not there yet. Not there yet, but I am a worshiper. My learning experience actually began in a small ministry out in Willimantic called The Burning Bush. It was geared toward youth, young people. When I first showed up out there, it grabbed me. Their worship was not anything like I had experienced before, having just gotten saved. But I had a feeling very, very quickly that while worship was good, we were dancing around something deeper. We were kind of just circling around and never quite diving in. While I was there, I received an invitation to become involved with South United Methodist Church and minister to their youth. You've heard me talk about that very, very recently. I didn't know anything, but God honored that group and honored my ignorance. And he came. God came to that youth group, which started with just six kids, and within a few months blossomed to a regular 60 or 70 on a Friday night. And it wasn't because of anything I did. It was because of God showing up, moving by his Spirit, and teaching all of us to worship. And so with that group of young people, junior hires, high school kids, I realized, wow, we have stepped. We're not just dancing around the outside. We have started walking into deeper water here. I was learning as I went. Had no background experience in this. But the deeper we went, the more God came. He poured out his gifts and his graces. These kids began moving in the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. It was marvelous. Well, God then spoke to me about going to Bible school. And I went to Elam Bible Institute. And I tell you what, for all of my schooling, the foundations were laid in my life at Elam. Fabulous 3 years I had there. Not only that, I gained a wife. Marcia and I were students together. She didn't like me till about our senior year, but that was okay. But Elam was known for its worship. And I absolutely got lost in worship at Elam. We had chapel 4 times a week. We would worship. We would sing hymns. We would sing out of our Bibles, the Psalms. And God would come. It was marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Finally, ending up here, after leaving Elam and finishing my bachelor's and then my Master of Divinity, ended up here by way of Farmington, Connecticut, Church of the Living God in Farmington, which is sadly no more, extended an invitation for my wife and I to come and interview, to come on board with them to plant and pastor this church. So coming for the interview, I really prepped myself by thinking, what do I want to see? If I'm going to plant a church, God, what do I want to see in it? And One of the first major points when I shared with the leadership of that church was, I want this church to engage in deep worship. I don't want to just dance around. I wanted to jump in the deep end. And so that was a long time, 38 years ago, I think. We have been learning to worship since then. Sometimes it's peaks, sometimes it's troughs, but we have been learning, and we have had some significant encounters with God here in this place. I have seen Him in the sanctuary and beheld His power and glory, and I cannot help but worship. In our worship times here, not just because of laying on of hands and praying for people and believing, I have seen transformed lives just because people stepped into worship. I have seen healings, physical healings, simply because people gave themselves to worship and God's presence came and brought wholeness. I have seen people set free from the powers of darkness during worship. Demons would shout, scream, and run because they couldn't stand the worship and the presence of God in this place. I've seen signs and wonders. I've seen a cloud of His glory multiple times form over this room as we worshiped. I have felt His power and His glory so strongly that I could not stand, and neither could anyone else in this building. But listen, personal experience can't stand alone. Personal experience is not enough to provide a foundation for any aspect of our salvation, our walk with God, or our theology. In Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist writes, I will praise You, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing Your praise. I will bow down toward Your holy temple and will praise Your name for Your love and Your faithfulness. For You have exalted above all things Your name and Your word. You've exalted above all things, above every experience, Your name and Your word. When you see in the Bible the phrase, the name of the Lord, or Your name, it's a reference to all that God is. It encompasses His nature, His personality, His character, His power, His authority. It is a summation of God, who He is and all that He's done. Your word, Your name and Your word, is that which God has spoken. While I am a worshiper, I am also a man of the word. We need a firm place to stand. Beyond experience, beyond feelings, the testimony and the witness of God that is contained in Scripture is more than enough to move the people of God to worship. Listen, you do not have to experience everything of God in order to worship everything of God. We always put the word first. In John 4:23, Jesus said, a time is coming and has now come. That means that this is something that never was before. A time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Now, let me ask you to picture something here, and I hope it's not too harmful, hurtful, embarrassing. But I want you to go back to about second grade. Okay? Second, third grade, back in there, you remember there was an annoying kid, at least one. Might have been a boy, might have been a girl, might have been you. Where the teacher would ask a question, and somebody would go, "Teacher, teacher, it's me, pick me, pick me, pick me." Okay, regarding worship, that's me. I'm telling you right now, I will push to the front, and I will volunteer. God, I am the worshiper you are seeking. If you want to look farther, you can, but here I am. I'm a worshiper. I give myself to it because he draws me and he is so, so worthy. Now, I believe that it's impossible to be the kind of worshiper the Father seeks apart from the Word of God. I don't care what kind of experience you may have had or I may have had. If you want to become a worshiper, get into the Bible. If you want to grow as a worshiper, get into the Bible. And let God speak to you through His Word. In Psalm 34, looking at verses 1 through 10, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Come, come with me. I am pressing forward for God. I am wanting to enter into deep worship and then deeper worship still. Come, let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, verse 4, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Sometimes worship, the idea of going deeper in God, can be a scary thing. But He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man, the psalmist too, but me as well, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It almost seems odd when you read this, that tasting and seeing the goodness of God is a preface to being called to fear the Lord. They just don't seem to go together. How does tasting and seeing the goodness of God go with fearing the Lord? Well, the meaning of the Hebrew word that is translated as fear here means to fear, to be afraid. But more broadly than that, it means to stand in awe of, to be in awe, to revere, to have reverential awe. Tasting and seeing that the Lord is good is inseparable from a healthy, biblical, awe-filled fear of the Lord. Psalm 86, starting in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Give me an undivided heart, the psalmist says. Literally, that means to be joined together, to be united. Help me, in other words, to join myself, God, to your will and your ways. Concentrate my affections. Keep me from being scattered. God, speaking of his people, says in Jeremiah 32, 39, I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. We could paraphrase that verse this way. Teach me your way, O Lord, and help me to walk in your will. Give me a heart that is joined to you, that blossoms into a healthy fear of the Lord. Then we see in verses 12 and 13, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Why? For great is your love toward me, and you have delivered me from the depths of the grave. That God would love the likes of me and you is absolutely astonishing. It makes him worthy of praise and worship, that he would love us to the extent of giving his Son for us to take our sin upon himself and die in our place. Makes him worthy of worship. Not only that, he has delivered us from the depths of the grave. When we embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become immortal. I don't know about you, I'm not going to die. I will lay down this body, this tent, but the essence of me, my spirit, my soul, is going to live forever. And I'm going to spend that forever in the presence, the living presence of my God. And I am going to worship a lot. And because I will have been perfected, I will finally be able to offer perfect worship to my perfect God, that which he is fully, fully worthy of. So if we're going to worship a lot for a long time, why don't we start learning now? Amen. Let's stand and bless the Lord.
I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names, and nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names, and nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names, and nothing can stand against. Though I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names, and nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Because we as a church historically and now are committed to worship, to learning to worship, we want to be biblical. so our position on biblical worship is that if it's in the Bible, it's okay. If it's not in the Bible, it is not okay. Just so you know. There are things in the Bible, valid expressions of worship. I'm thinking right away of dancing and leaping that are really outside of my own comfort zone. I am very naturally conservative at heart. God has had to layer the grace on. Because I don't ever want to just say no to a biblical expression of worship, either in my own life or someone else's, because I'm uncomfortable. One of the things, as we talk about worship, as we seek to learn to be worshipers, that we're going to have to do is allow God to deliver us from past vows or decisions that we've made regarding worship. We have limited ourselves. I'll never do that. I could never do that. I don't think they should do that either. Hold it. Ask God for grace, not only for you to engage in full biblical worship, but to allow others to do so as well. Pastor, I don't like that. Why don't you ask that person to stop and sit down? Oh, wait a minute. It's in the Bible. How can I do that? So we need, in order really to get in the deep end of the pool, we need to be delivered from ourselves. And the history of decisions we've made to cross our arms on the inside, if not the outside, and say, I'm not going any further. God, deliver us from that. Deliver us from anything, any decision that we have made that is keeping us small in our relationship with and our experience of God. We looked at Psalm 34, verses 8 through 11. Actually, 8 through 10. I want to go a verse further in wrapping this up. We read this: taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And then this. This is the psalmist speaking. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. As I said, I have been seeking to learn to be a worshiper for 48 years. And I would ask that you would come and listen to me. I will be biblically based. I will share out of nearly a half century of experience in seeking God's face. And I trust that God will lift us together to a higher place in Him. And mixing my metaphors, that He'll take us into the deep end. Father, would you get a hold of us? God, I am convinced that whatever thing you're going to do next on the earth will be wrapped up in worship. Teach us to worship, to stop dancing around the outside, and to go into the very center of what you have for your people. Help us to be the kind of worshipers that you would seek, and to offer worship up that is a sweet savor in your nostrils. God, we can't do that on our own. It'd only end up ugly. But by your Spirit and with your grace, help us to learn to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Drive safely.